Okay, let's get started then. Let me first wish you a good morning, for some of you might be even good afternoon, and thank you for taking the time to attend today's webinar. My name is David Balzik. I'm a managing partner and consultant at Consulta, and today we have a kickoff business session of the Cloud for Developers webinar program. Therefore, I'm going to speak about the big picture of cloud opportunities. So basically, I want to provide you with some insights about the market, about the opportunities that are out there on the market, but then also what are the things we need to consider when developing the cloud business as ISVs. In case there are any questions or comments, please post them to the chat window. We are monitoring the board and will respond to questions at the end of each section. Now, before I jump into the content itself, I want to provide you with a few insights about who we are and what we are doing. And we would call ourselves a cloud business enablement consultancy. And we are a company that works primarily with IT partners. We don't do a lot of business for the end clients. Nevertheless, within that, I would say quite narrow focus. We work a lot with ISVs. So we also work a lot with system integrators, value-added resellers. And we also do some work for the distributors and hosters. And the last 5 years, we managed to touch more than 1,000 clients. So when I say client, this basically means IT partners, so companies such as you are. And we managed to do that through more than 200 on-site engagements. Now, lately, especially in the last 6 months, we are also delivering more and more webinars. We actually delivered more than 140 in the last 6 months. And we have a footprint in 38 different countries. Now, since we are addressing primarily the audience from Central and Eastern Europe with these webinars, I also need to mention that we are based in Central and Eastern Europe, so we are based in Slovenia, which actually gives us, which provides us with I would say, a bit of an advantage, you know, because we understand the rhythm of business, we understand, you know, we kind of, you know, live and breathe, you know, the air of Central and Eastern Europe. Also, a few words about myself. My role in a company is I'm a managing partner. I'm also a senior consultant now for the last 6 months. You know, I also have my new title on the business card, which is Chief Client Satisfier. You know, because I believe this is actually the reason why I'm in the company. I actually have a technical background. Nevertheless, I never worked as a system engineer, technician, developer. I always worked in sales, marketing or business development. And this is also what we are going to discuss with the business stream of the webinars that are more or less prepared for the following 3 weeks. Now, my working experience is pretty diverse. I spent some time in the entertainment industry, also a few years in energy market, a few years with Microsoft, and for the last 5, I'm with Consulta. I also have some free time, usually spend that with family, friends, sport, and to some extent also with cloud computing. Now, to kind of get to the point of what we want to more or less provide to you during Cloud for Developers webinars. So we have two streams. Since this is the kickoff session, I would say kind of a repeat of the kickoff session, I want to mention both. So today we have our first webinar, which is about customer services and the cash cows. So this is what we want, where we want to provide you with the big picture. But then we want to kind of start narrowing down to different topics that are relevant for the new, say, cloud business development, or if you want to grow your existing cloud business. So we will spend some time on better understanding what is Azure and how Azure could be actually, so Microsoft Azure could be actually used by you, by the developers or companies developing the software in order to kind of bring some of the solutions quicker to the market, or and of course, you know, to kind of utilize all the benefits that the platform itself is providing, you know, to such companies. Then we also want to provide you with some good practices, so examples of companies that already went through such transformation or transition, and we want to kind of dedicate a special attention to different types of companies. So we have companies that are doing a lot of stuff with the commercial software. We also have companies that are doing a lot of stuff with open source solutions or open source software. And in a way, you know, they're all utilizing Azure for doing that. So this is what is going to be delivered next week. Then we say, okay, now we better understand, you know, where is the opportunity? How could we actually map Azure to that opportunity? What are some good practice partners doing? So then we'll kind of, the remaining three webinars are going to be spent, I would say, on the three key topics of the business development. The first one is about the target customers. So how to then identify prospects or first clients for your service. The second one is going to be about marketing. So once we identify the prospects, the targets, how to kind of generate the interest. And then the last one is going to be about sales and the sales tactics. So once you kind of generate the leads, you know, then of course we need to work on those leads, and there are some nice, I would say, tips and tricks related to that. There are also some nice recommendations, also good practices around that. So how could you actually make sure you know that your sales cycle is as short as possible, and of course that you can actually close as much as possible in the shortest period of time. So that's the idea of the business sessions. Now, the technical sessions, and the schedule is kind of a, we kind of made sure you know that the slots are aligned. So after this session that we have right now, what's going to follow immediately is the technical session that my colleague Mihai is going to deliver. So he's also going to start with the cloud providers landscape. So what is kind of the big picture of cloud, but he's going to provide that with from a more technical perspective, you know, emphasizing more some technical, or I would say technical differences. The second one is going to be where we usually start with clouds around dev and test environments. Then of course, you know, after we kind of decide that we are going to move things to Azure or to a cloud platform, you know, how to do that, you know, should we consider IaaS or PaaS? That is going to be the second one. What should be the data mix? And then at the end, you know, also what are some architectural considerations for SaaS solutions in Azure. So just making sure you know that we provide you all the insights that are needed to know when you are considering moving some of your stuff or developing some of your stuff into cloud. And then of course, you know, even for those of you that already did it, you know, how can you actually optimize on that, and what are some considerations you need to keep on top of your mind. So that's the intro of the overall program. Now, kind of narrow it to today's session. So what's the agenda for the following 45 minutes? I want to provide you, I mean, I want to start with some trends, and then I want to provide you some insights about the balance we kind of need to catch between the old and the new. So because if these sessions are definitely not about how to shoot or your cash cows, or how to more or less just switch off your existing business and start with something new. It's very much about how to make sure that both can coexist within your company. So yes, we built our company on the traditional way of doing business. Yes, we have built our company on the traditional way of developing the software. And we need to kind of still, I mean, to some extent, you know, this is what's more or less paying the bills for our company. So if you're developing something new, or if you plan to develop something new, it's good that we kind of keep the right balance of both. Making sure that we just don't shoot ourselves in our knees, you know, but then on the other hand, we still start developing something that is becoming, or is going to become, a new cash cow in the future. Of course, then at the end, I also want to provide you with some, I would say, insight, you know, or components of a cloud business development. So what are some things you need to consider as a software developing company? So just to kind of set the ground for our next webinars, and then I'll also kind of spend a minute or two on just introducing what our next webinar is going to be. So this is the plan for the following 45 minutes. Now, in order to better understand, because it's usually, I mean, when you do such webinars, it's kind of hard, you know, to kind of see, you know, who are the people that actually are on the other side. I don't see you face to face. So just to kind of get a better understanding about where you are at the moment, and or what's basically the profile of your company, I just want to get an input from your side through a very short poll. So just kind of like you to, I mean, I would like you to kind of tell us a bit more about your company, whether you're a company that is developing package software and you're then reselling that to your customers. On the other hand, you might be companies that is developing some tailor-made solutions or tailor-made software for your customers. You might be also just developing the software for your internal use, or you might not do any of that. So, I mean, please just spend a few seconds on that, provide us this input, because it's also highly important for us in order to tailor all the sessions, or I would say customize all the sessions that are going to be delivered in the following 3 weeks. So are you a company that is developing packet software, a company that is more like in a custom software development? You're doing that, you're more or less developing software just for your internal usage, or you're not doing any of that? And I'm also going to share the results with you. Okay, so we see that we have, I would say, a very nice mix. The majority of people are actually not developing any software. I'll be curious later, also with my questions to kind of better understand what you're doing. I mean, what's the thing that you're actually doing? But then we have, I would say, a good split between the companies that are doing packet set. I mean, they're developing a packet set software, tailor-made software, and the software for the internal usage. Okay, thank you very much for that. Now, I'll just switch the gears, and I want to start with my first topic. And I mean, usually my sessions are designed in a way that each section, kind of start with a bit of an inspirational quotation, and or a quote. And this is actually coming from the big guy from Microsoft. I mean, he's not a new in a position anymore, but I really like, what he mentioned, in one of the emails that was sent to the internal employees a while ago, where she said, like, our industry does not respect tradition. It only respects innovation. And if we take a look on what's going with the market, or what's going on with the market in the last few years, we see that this is definitely the case. There are some new vendors that are popping up that were not out there in the market a few years ago. There are some that are becoming much stronger. There are some that are becoming much weaker. And in a way, it's not just about IT. So if you take a look on what's going on in the other industries, we see that the whole world is going through a certain transformation. So there are many disruptors out there in the market, starting with Uber and the transportation business, or for example, hospitality industry and Airbnb. Even Tesla, as a car manufacturer, is disrupting the traditional automotive industry. PayPal somehow disrupting the banking sector. And there's also kind of this nice picture about the hangar with the display. Now, people usually say when we have on-site events, so what's the story of this hangar? Why does this hangar have a display attached? So, I mean, this is a story of a Brazilian startup. Actually, I mean, they're not a startup anymore. That kind of had an idea how to disrupt the fashion industry, or they have an idea about how to disrupt the fashion industry. So what's their idea? They was like, okay, what we want to do, we want to kind of connect the in-store experience with the social networks or what's going on the web. So what you see here is that, for example, whenever any of those big brands, that are in fashion, like Zara or I don't know, Guess and so on, when they kind of launch a new collection, they would post that on their Facebook pages, web pages, and so on. So, for example, on Facebook pages, people would like different pieces of clothing. These guys, what they did, they actually kind of connected, those likes that are happening on the Facebook with this piece of the clothing, that is actually hanged on this hanger. So you can actually see how many likes this piece of clothing got. So if you want to be dressed like everybody else in this world, you're probably going to choose the one that has the highest number of likes. But what's kind of, just to kind of summarize it very quickly, so all these big guys, with their outlets and stores, they said, I mean, all those big brands said, if you bring the cost of a hanger below $1.5, we will go massive with that. And at the moment they're at 1.8. So even fashion industry, as one of the most traditional industries, is being disrupted with the way how they interact with their clients. So that's just an example to see, like, that there is nothing special going on with IT when we speak about cloud. It's more or less, I mean, it's part of the overall transition that the world is going through. Now, if we kind of narrow that down to to where we are living, to IT industry, I just want to kind of present some of the stats from IDC, because they're still one of the authorities in the market. And I actually took the latest stats. I mean, that's something, you can also find, in some of the resources that are going to be presented later on. But what IDC is actually saying is that the overall IT market is still going to grow. However, just to kind of make the whole slide a bit more concise, however, more than 50% of that spending is going to be spent on the third platform. So, what's the third platform? That's the main question. So, for those of you that are a bit longer in the IT industry, You're definitely aware of the mainframes, and how the market reacted when server and client architecture or consoles was introduced to the market. Now, the third platform is actually a level on top of that. So the first platform was the first big wave in the IT industry was about the mainframes. The second platform was about client and server concept. The third platform is about social, mobile, analytics, and cloud. So what IDIS is basically saying that the third platform is going to disrupt the second platform, which was the client-server concept. And by 2017, more than 50% of the organization's spending is going to be, in a way, in a way, spent on the third platform. So it kind of just gives you an importance. Now, of course, we are in CE, we might be a bit behind the global IT development and development numbers. But even if we say, I would say my estimate is that we are kind of a year and a half or 2 years behind that. But still, it's going to happen. I mean, this is something we cannot neglect. We cannot keep ourselves blindfolded. So I would say we are now in the right time to kind of jump on this train. So the second thing that IDC also mentions is in the predictions is that the businesses are definitely changing. I would say even that the business is already changed in the way how they engage with customers. Remember the story about the hangar before, the hangar with the display. The speed at which they deliver products and services, which will have to be much faster. How they innovate, the reliability of their operations, and their overall resiliency. So in a way, in order to achieve that, they will need a much more flexible and agile IT support and environment because IT is becoming increasingly important for such operations. Even more, if we take a look just to kind of see whether the IDC, because some people say, you know what, but IDC is actually pumping the vendors' pockets, the same goes for Gartner. But what IDC predicted in 2007, just more or less 9 years from today. They actually said that the system, I'll just start from the right side. The systems are going to be more kind of, I mean, are going to gravitate toward services, which is actually happening. IT agility is going to be, I mean, is going to kind of convert into the business agility, which is definitely happening. Information, because in 2007, we were kind of complaining that we don't have like all the information we need to make educated decisions. It's now about innovation. It's about with all the data that is around us, how to kind of pull, I would say, I mean, may more or less, how to present it in a meaningful way. So we have the data, it's just about innovation on how we're going to reuse it. And they were also mentioning about the paradigm shift, which definitely happened with the cloud computing. And this was in 2007. In 2007, I was still with Microsoft, we were not that vocal about cloud. We're actually not vocal about cloud at all. So it happened. I would even say that it happened much faster, than they predicted. So just to kind of summarize, this IDC view and to make it a bit more kind of exciting, because even like ISVs usually well, I mean we I mean in ISV market we want to be a bit more innovative, and creative. So all those new trends, where people are, I mean, where companies plan to spend, I would say, majority of their budgets in the future, could be actually summarized in those four areas: mobility, social, cloud, analytics. And some people would actually refer to that as with SMAC. Now, why is this important? Because some of the companies are already putting that on their web pages, like we are SMAC ready, which basically means we are a company that is following the trends, that we will provide you with the latest and greatest technologies and with a lot of innovation. So that's something, this acronym SMAC became quite popular. Even if you kind of go online and check it, the different search engines, you'll see that many companies are actually emphasizing that on their web pages. Now, once again, why is that important? These are some of the priorities or some of the top three initiatives that organizations plan to kind of pursue in the next 12 months. So the first one is security, then it's cloud, and then it's mobile devices. And the fourth one, for example, data management or analytics. So kind of a three more or less areas of that SMAC. What might be even more important for us as providers, is like, okay, where do they plan to spend most of their budgets? And it's pretty much the same story. Security in the number one, cloud computing the number two, and business analytics the number three. So this is about the spending. This is not just about saying, yeah, you will like it, we are thinking about it, but this is like where we plan to spend our budgets. Now, some people will say, you know what, David, but this SMAC, this is, I mean, we are more traditional company. We are doing business in a very traditional way, so all these things about social, you know, and mobile, it's a bit far away. This is more like for those cool startups, you know, that are kind of small agile companies and they do cool stuff. We're kind of in a serious business, in a bit more traditional business. Now, for that reason, I just want to bring this light on. I mean, this is not actually, I mean, this company is also an ISV, but they are a huge system integrator, one of the biggest system integrators in the world that, of course, also have an ISV practice. Now, this company was 7 years ago in huge problems, and they were quite a traditional company. They were, I mean, our colleagues from the States would say they were operating with a negative profit. So, and then they changed the management and said, okay, we cannot compete in this world, you know, by just doing some stuff, I mean, by doing more or less what everybody else is doing. So we need to change our business. So 7 years ago, they, in a way, started, I mean, said, okay, we want to position ourselves as a company that is doing all the cool stuff for the enterprise. So if you're a huge bank and they're actually doing that, and you want to do some social interactions, sentiment measurement, stuff like that, we are going to deliver that for you. And they were the only company that were at that point of time saying that. So quite a traditional company, our company that used to be quite traditional, more or less transforming their business upside down. So what's the result of that? So if you visit their webpage, you're going to see they have this SMAC motion, you know, and a lot of materials about SMAC and the vision, you know, and the future of IT and the future of business and so on. So they're doing a lot for, I mean, to educate their potential clients. But why am I actually mentioning them? In 7 years, they managed to kind of, in a way, transform their business to the point that they're today one of the most profitable system integrators in the world. Once again, this is a huge company. This company has more than 150,000 employees. So people will say they are big, they don't need to go after all these nice trendy things, but they are doing that. Actually, if you check their name, you're going to see there are many hits on the web saying, wait a minute, kind of a quotations from their CEO saying, "Dear SMAC, thank you very much for another great quarter." So that's the point. It's about, I mean, it's like we want to kind of position ourselves as somebody that might do things a bit differently than all the rest, I mean, all the other companies in the market, and of course even our clients, because there are also some changes going on in the way how people buy things, and also in the way, you know, how they're interacting with the vendors, you know. So we want to be kind of ready for this future wave that might not be like now on the peak in CE, but it's definitely coming if we kind of learn, you know, from what is going on in the Western European states. So just to kind of now go back to the numbers, this is actually also coming from the latest report from IDC. So it's IDC CloudView 2016. What they were actually asking more than 11,000 clients. They were asking them about the level of their cloud adoption. So 8% said, you know, we have no interest. We will not do cloud, which makes sense. 20.5% said, you know what, we are not doing cloud yet, but we are educating ourselves. So we are educating about the options. We are educating about the vendors, providers. So eventually we are going to go there. 20.3%, they said that they plan to adopt cloud within 12 months. 59.3% said that they are currently using public or private cloud for more than one or two small applications. So once again, let me kind of put this in the right context. They are not saying that they're using cloud for their core business application, and nobody expects them to do that. They're just saying that 59.3% are saying that they're using it, you know, for one or two small applications or workloads. And that's actually what we want to also discuss during our next webinars. It's not about how to go after core things from the scratch, but let's try to kind of start working with the clients on some small pieces, because we want to kind of pave the ground for what we want to do in the future. So when people are coming to us, you know, as a consulting company and saying, you know what, David, you know, we tried with several clients in our market. We tried, you know, but it's just not landing well. They just don't like it, you know. And then it was like, okay, what was the discussion about? Of course, first of all, if you go there, I mean, if you enter the client office and if you enter with the big bang, you know, like, okay, let's just go cloud. Of course, they will not follow. Some might even follow, you know, but that's not where the majority of the market is today. So where cloud is actually, or let's say cloud services or SaaS services, if you are kind of referring to ISVs, will make sense is like on some, let's say, it might be on a parameter of their existing or current IT environment. Might be for some things, you know, that do not handle that much of a sensitive data. So that's where we, some of the workloads that might not be business critical, but that's a good starting point because we have to learn, they also have to learn. So we want to kind of learn in a safe environment. So that's the whole point. Now, the second one is actually coming from a new IDC ebook. This is, I mean, it's titled The Modern Microsoft Partner Series. And kind of kindly encourage you to check this document. It's not, I mean, it's not 150 pages. It's around 25. I also attached the link here, and the event organizers are going to provide you with the PDF copy of the deck. You also have the recording, of course. But what they're saying, you know, that the worldwide public IT cloud services revenue, so software as a service, platform as a service, and infrastructure as a service, will reach 141.2 billion by 2019. Now, of course, this is a huge number. It's a worldwide number. We are in CE. The perspective is a bit different. But what's important here is the compound annual growth rate. So the overall market is going to grow on average in the next 3 years with 20% growth rate. For what's important here is that the overall IT market is going to grow for roughly around 3%. So it's almost six times the public cloud services market is going to grow six times faster than the overall IT spending. Now, I also attached the number for Central and Eastern Europe, which is 18.9%. So basically, it's like it's not a mainstream market yet. However, it's growing much faster than the overall IT market. It actually provides us with a very strong signal about what it's really time to start thinking about that, or I wouldn't even say like start jumping on the train. Now, for those of you that are a bit more familiar with cloud services business, you know, and you're already doing some stuff, you know, you're quite familiar with different layers of cloud, but just a very quick overview of how does that look from the perspective of different layers of cloud. So what we are seeing that the infrastructure as a service, platform as a service businesses are kind of now still in a growth mode. However, it's expected to stabilize around 2017, 2018. And then the maturity of the growth in that market is going to come from software as a service. So basically what you guys as ISVs are doing. Because eventually, you know, most of the bigger clients today, they are consuming cloud not that much through software as a service. They are more or less consuming it from the infrastructure perspective. So you have an enterprise, they will say, you know what, we need some excess capacity. So we are going to utilize some of the virtual machines in Azure. And then, of course, they put their own stuff on top of that. So they still keep a lot of control. Over the time, they, of course, will say, okay, you know, it works well. So why would they actually need to bother, you know, by patching, managing, supporting all these things? Why wouldn't we just kind of put the whole thing basically start consuming that as SaaS? And that's the idea here, you know. So I would say that ISVs, because I mentioned at the beginning, we work with the entire partner ecosystem. I would say that ISVs are kind of a sweet spot. I mean, the story is quite clear. And if you ask me, the cloud is, I mean, I don't want to be too biased, but the cloud is more or less just a benefit for an ISV. Because for a system integrator, the story might be a bit more challenging. But for ISVs, I don't see that many cons. I primarily see pros, but that's just my personal opinion. So just to kind of summarize this first part, is cloud really big? Is this really something huge that is going on in the IT industry or something that would actually, should actually kind of keep us concerned? I would say we are just at the beginning of what's going to be the big transformation in the IT industry. Because cloud is, realistically, cloud is not that special. Technology-wise, it's nothing special. Business-wise, AI is a different business model, but it's pretty much the same business model that exists in other industries for the last 20 years. So where we can expect, of course, the big bang to happen is with the Internet of Everything. And there are some impressive numbers. I will not go through all of that. It's just important to understand that kind of the cloud, the whole cloud transformation is the starting point for Internet of Everything. Because all these things that are related to Internet of Things or Internet of Everything, it's kind of powered by different clouds from around the world. So if we miss that wave, the cloud wave, the next one, I mean, we'll have a huge disadvantage when the next one happens. Now, the last thing that I want to mention here is about why. So some people would say, you know what, but I mean, we can still, I mean, why is the industry pushing this that much? You know, of course, it's a business opportunity. It's one of the reasons. But it's also kind of related to how the overall market, the IT market, or how is the overall environment evolving. So there are some, like, some, I would say, visionary numbers related to 2020, where we see that it's expected that the amount of information or the quantity of information in the enterprises is going to grow by 14 times. I would say in 2020. So basically, there's going to be much more information to manage and handle. The second one is there is going to be 10 times of the servers. And I'm not speaking about the physical servers. I'm speaking about server instances of what we have today by 2020. However, there is going to be only 1.5 times more IT professionals available. You probably already see the gap. So, I mean, that was at least my experience. When I was visiting my clients with different IT offerings, they were, I mean, in 90% of the cases, they were saying, you know what, we are just too busy to do kind of anything else. So basically what I was saying here, that with increase of the information that is going to happen in companies, with increase of servers, it is going to happen in all those companies. And there is going to be a bit of a gap, because if there is going to be only 1.5 times IT professionals available in comparison to what we have today, so these people will definitely need to do a much better and smarter job when it comes to IT. So in a way, you know, I mean, and you can see the gap. This is, I mean, it could be just pure math, you know, to some extent. But the point is, you know, that I mean, most likely. I mean, and you know, when people are saying, you know what, we might lose our jobs because of the cloud, I would even say that there are more and more people is going to be needed, you know, with the trends we have here. And realistically, I mean, I met several IT engineers, developers, you know, technicians, you know, so far in different companies, companies that are using cloud and companies that are not using cloud. And so far, I did not meet anybody that would say that he or she lost his or her job because of the cloud. That's also something that needs to be pointed out. So, but obviously these people will need to outsource all those things, you know, related server configurations, patching, management, et cetera, to somebody else that can do that with the economy of scale, higher level of optimization, and then focus, you know, on some of the tasks that are basically a level or two above that. That's the main point. But there will be a huge gap, and the gap is already happening, you know, because one of the three key challenges that CIOs see today for the future, one of the key three is actually about staffing gap. So they will need to do a bit smarter job, you know, with how they are running and managing their IT. Now, just to kind of finish this section about trends, I started before with Uber, Airbnb, you know, and all those disruptors. Just to kind of put that in a perspective, you know, of like trends, I mean, where tradition kind of meets innovation. So Ford, as the oldest car manufacturer in the world, is actually valued at less than Uber, which is just that, I mean, if you are realistic, it's just a very nice application, nothing else. Hilton, operating, managing, or owning more than 1,500 hotels, so physical buildings, is valued less than Airbnb, which is, again, just a very nice accommodation booking website or application. So the world is definitely changing, and the world, I mean, if you ask me, it already changed. Okay, so this was our first part. Let me just just to kind of also get a bit of an input from your side, I want to kind of post my second poll question, which is about, since we were speaking a lot about cloud trends and all these things, like what's your plan? Like just the simple question, are you considering to start using clouds within the next 6 months? Or basically, okay, let me start with the first one, which is you'll be already using it. You plan to do that within the next 6 months. You plan to do it, but then later in the next 6 months, or you don't have any plans of using it. Now, this is anonymous, you know, so feel free to post your questions, and it would be also great for us to kind of understand basically where you are at the moment, so we can align the topics for the next webinar. So once again, are you already using some cloud? Are you planning to do this, let's say, in the midterm period, long-term period, or you actually don't have any plans of doing that? Okay, let me just check the answers. Okay, we see the majority of people are already using it. Congratulations for that. And we also have some people that are planning to do that in the midterm period. Long-term period, and some they are saying we have no plans of using it. And if you're already using it, then I mean all these things that are going to be delivered in the following sessions, like the Azure part, the good practices, targeting, I mean customer targeting, marketing, sales, it's going to be of a high value for you. Okay, let me just switch to my next topic, which is about the balance I was mentioning before. So realistically, if you take a look on what's going on in the market, and this is the perspective of the enterprise, because enterprises, because they're the hardest nut to crack. We see that, I mean, the preference of the day is hybrid. And period. I mean, I don't want to go too much into that. So they don't see cloud as something that is like, that has this, say, answer before the term. It's very much about end. So they see it as something that is going to complement the environment they already have, which makes a lot of sense. Now, the second thing that is also important, and is actually coming again from the same survey I was mentioning from IDC before, more than 11,000 respondents, which was basically about how do you plan to distribute your IT budget over the next 2 years. So people were actually saying, I mean, public cloud is not the mainstream yet, but it's growing. So you have the light blue and the dark blue comparison. Dark blue is basically for the next 2 years. On-demand hosted public cloud growing again. Dedicated hosted public cloud growing again. Traditional outsourcing is actually in decline. Enterprise private cloud is actually growing, but then traditional in-house deployments are in decline, which I would say is nothing that dramatic, or something we would not expect. Now, before I was speaking about the right balance, how to kind of make sure that we don't shoot our cash cow that is bringing most of the money to our business today, but then, and on the other hand, start developing something new. And this is what we want to present you here. So if you take a look on the market share perspective, realistically, the public cloud services market is in the range of 15 to 25% of the overall IT market today, which does not qualify public cloud services as a mainstream market. So why 50 to 25? Different analysts have different approach to what they see as public cloud, so I just kind of provide you with the whole range. So the remaining is still a traditional IT. So our cash cow is still sitting here, period. I mean, this is for most of the company. Now, of course, if you're a startup or born in a cloud company, then you're primarily focused on the cloud services. So that was the market share perspective. The growth perspective is opposite. I mentioned before, public cloud services market is growing 6 times faster than the overall IT market. So we see that this cash cow in that perspective is much smaller. So it's like about finding the right balance. How could we still nurture this cash cow that is actually paying the bills to our company today, but then on the other hand, start developing something that is expected to become a cash cow in the future. So it's kind of a, once again, these sessions that we are delivering are not about shooting the cash cow. The cash cow you have today, it's about more or less finding the right balance of keeping the cow happy, but then on the other hand, also start breeding the new one. Now, why do we want to do that? There are some nice examples, I mean, there are some nice insights from the market, in IDC, this ebook, the new ebook that IDC commissioned on behalf of Microsoft, is actually about the, I would say, performance indicators of companies that are doing cloud. So companies that are generating more than 50% of their revenues in the cloud, they have 1.6 times higher gross profit than the partners that are more traditional. They have 2 times faster growth. And the last one, they have 1.8 times higher recurring revenue, which, if you ask me, is the main or the key metrics. So basically, these guys are more profitable, they are growing faster, which is kind of aligned, with the market growth. And of course, this mix, of recurring revenue, so more or less stability in your business, and the projects is kind of, it's almost double of a traditional IT company. The second one that I want to show here is about valuation of the company. So if you are on a top management position, or are you also an owner of the company, that should trigger you a lot. Because what the analysts are saying when they're evaluating the values of the companies that are doing either services business, or let's say IT as a service business, the one that are more like traditional, the value differs a lot. So for example, when they would evaluate a traditional company that is more project focused, or let's say more licensing focused on, or package software focused, the valuation factor would be 1.5 to 3 times the EBITDA. So that's what they would use. For IT as a service based company, so let's say companies that are offering SaaS solutions, the valuation would be 5 to 8 times the EBITDA. Why is that? It's pretty much the same reason as why are, for example, mobile carriers valuated with a much higher valuator than traditional telcos. Because when you are doing IT as a service business, usually have like long-term, mid-term contracts with the client. So more or less each month, you know exactly how much money is going to land in your account. So there's a lot of predictability, much more stability, in comparison to if you are doing some projects that might be falling into your account a bit more randomly. So that's the main reason. Of course, there are also some other reasons, you know, but just to kind of, I mean, we need to kind of cut it a bit short here. When you are kind of embracing this cloud mentality and start building, you know, or growing this services business, you are indirectly also, or directly also, increasing the value of your company. Now, since we are in CE, and I mean, there's like, usually there are a lot of discussions around compliance, privacy. I'm sure that most of you are aware of this document. Whether you are not, just a very quick resume. So, what Microsoft what Microsoft for its services, such as Office 365, Azure, and CRM Online, what they receive from EU Commission is actually endorsements. So what the Commission, the endorsement for the way how they're handling the data, just to kind of simplify it. So basically what the EU guy said, that the way how Microsoft handles data, manages data, is compliant with what are the requirements in EU, which are actually one of the strictest requirements in the world. That does not mean that Microsoft get kind of a confirmation that they have 100% privacy, security, etc. It just means that the way how they handle data is aligned or compliant with the laws in EU. So why is this important? Because Microsoft today is the only vendor that has such endorsement, you know, for the range, of course, of services that they're offering. So that was more or less about the balance. Just want to kind of now start or kind of post my third poll question, and which is kind of, we want to go a bit more deeper as a comparison to what we started before. And the question is about which of the phases below is closest to the cloud business development stage of your company. The first option is you're just exploring the market and options. And this is not relevant for most of you, because before you said we are already using some cloud. Now, if you're just using the cloud for the internal purposes, that doesn't count. So you're still exploring the market and options. The second stage is you're already defining the offering. The third stage is you are working on the go-to-market strategy. The fourth one, you're reaching out to the first clients. And the fifth one is about you're already growing and optimizing the cloud business, which basically means, you know, that, I mean, you already have your first client, just now start, I mean, you want to start working on the profitability. So once again, are you still exploring the market? You are kind of checking what might be the best entry option for you. Or you are already on the other extreme, you are already growing and optimizing the cloud business. And I'm curious to see how that worked for you. Okay, let's just try this once again. First, push it on the slide. So exploring the market and options, or you are already growing and optimizing the cloud business. So let me know about what is the stage or the phase of your current cloud business development. Okay, let's just check the results. Okay, we see most of the companies are still exploring the market and options, defining the offerings. And okay, we have a pretty high share of companies that are already growing and optimizing the cloud business. Congratulations to that. Now, just the last say part of our today's webinar. I want to kind of finish with kind of a say, setting the stage for our next webinars, because at the end of the day, this is our intro session and we want to kind of generate some excitement for the following sessions. So first of all, what are some things to consider? And I'm going to start here, you know, this is where I start, like I'm going to start with the feedback, not the feedback, but the kind of the concerns that partners or ISVs would usually share with us when we start with our engagements. So it's like, you know what, data privacy and security acts are just preventing us to sell cloud services. We would like to do it, but you know what, it's, I mean, we just kind of, we are very limited, you know, with the local legislation, you know, and regulation. We're not getting any leads. Cloud is not selling. My customers are not ready yet and they're reluctant to discuss cloud. Our sales representatives don't believe in cloud and are not motivated to sell it. And then, of course, margins are too low. It's not a profitable business. The next one is about our customers are used to and want to buy big projects. Might be also a challenge. It's too cheap. It's a good alternative for small businesses, not that much for bigger companies. So all of this is being heard, and we are going to address most of them with our following webinars. Like we are not getting any leads. We're going to speak a lot about marketing, motivation, and sales representatives. We're going to speak about that. We're going to speak about talking points. My customers are not ready yet and reluctant to discuss cloud. We will not speak about the legal perspective of cloud because we're not legal experts and we don't want to play poker here. We are going to speak about margins. We are going to also speak about being too cheap or too expensive. It's a good alternative for small businesses and bigger companies. So we are going to address all of them. And we're going to do that by providing you with examples of companies that are doing that, I mean, that have an opposite experience. So that's the idea of the next webinars. Now, in order to kind of understand where we're heading, we need to understand that at the beginning, when we start developing this business, it's not going to be, I mean, the sales itself is not going to be based only on given facts and numbers, you know, but it's also going to be based on the relationship we have with the client. So we'll need, I mean, this relationship should be kind of in a supportive mode to kind of make this breakthrough, because once we do it, then things got much smoother. 71% of customers, they buy because they like you, trust you, and respect you. So we're going to speak a lot about trust, how to establish this cloud, trust towards cloud. The second one is about understanding different types of customers. Because in many cases, when people come to us and say, you know what, it's just not working. I mean, we cannot get any clients. This is okay. In many cases, we realize, and we jointly realize, that they're just addressing the wrong people with the wrong message at the wrong time. Because there are different types of clients out there that are buying at a different stage of a new, I would say, at a different stage of the market development. So people that usually buy first are so-called enthusiasts, and they have a strong preference for cloud today. There are actually some, I mean, some numbers available around that. And then on the other hand, you know, you have conservatives that are not excited about cloud. That they are not, I mean, they are kind of pushing it back, and they will not do it for quite some time. So we need to kind of make sure that we are really addressing prospects, companies, people within those companies that are, I would say, a good candidates for such discussions. Then, of course, we also want to discuss the changes in buying. So how are people buying things in the past? You know, how that changed? You know, how they're buying things today? What are the triggers that are actually triggering their buying decision, which is actually the most important thing, and how we should actually align to those triggers. So we're just going to spend a lot of time in on the changes in buying, you know, the psychographic profiles of customers. How should we actually align to this buying process? So that's more or less the overall idea. And of course, also understanding the changes in buying centers. We see that it's more and more IT projects are actually being business funded. So, I mean, less and less are actually IT funded. And basically, IT is saying that, not businesses. So it's kind of a clear direction about where we should actually turn when we are reaching out with our story. Now, of course, that does not mean that we can just kind of neglect IT, but we want to kind of have a discussion about how we should actually address one and the other. And then, of course, it's also about understanding your prospects. Now, realistically, with the market in CEE or with the market maturity in CEE, this is our window of opportunity. So these are the companies, these are the people that are actually willing to discuss cloud today out of all these nice speakers here. So that's the story. And then even more realistically, it's these are the people that are at the end willing to buy. So we are not speaking about how we want to address everybody in the market and we expect that everybody is going to buy. We primarily speak about that, or mostly speak about that, who are the people that are willing to discuss cloud today. And there are some characteristics of those people available and the characteristics of those companies that are, I would say, the first candidate. So more or less, we are going to go after the first clients. I mean, the people that have a profile of the first cloud buyers. And of course, we're also going to speak about marketing. Like 9 out of 10 business buyers, they say when they're ready to buy, they will contact you. And 3% of them, they start the process with web search. So basically, even here, things are getting different. So we'll need to kind of align our marketing a bit in order to better understand those first prospects I was speaking about before. And then again, you know, it's also about what I mentioned before, how we should then align our sales process to what the buying behaviors of today's clients are. And I'm going to support that with some, as I said, some good practices. Which actually brings me to my last two poll questions. Now, that one is very straightforward. My company has a business concept or idea, or kind of clarified the business concept and idea about how to use cloud services in our solutions. Very simple, yes or no. So you have an idea about how to bring that to the market and how to start monetizing on that business idea. I'm speaking about business, not technical. Yes or no? Let's just see what are the results. Okay, very nice. So all these insights, so we have 71.5% people said that yes, they have an idea about how to bring that on the market or to the market. So consider all the sessions that are going to be delivered in the following weeks as something that will help you to kind of optimize the concept and idea you already clarified, because there are going to be several ideas from different partners from around the world about how they're doing some of the things that are going to be mentioned. The second one is, of course, also about whether you have an experience, you know, when it comes to technology itself. So your company already tried or tested cloud services or has a technical plan on cloud adoption. Yes or no? So basically, you have an experience, you kind of checked some of the stuff, you tested it, you kind of understand it. Yes, if it's kind of a blank space for you, then it's no. Okay, even more. So the technical part is even higher. Thank you very much for that. And the last 2 minutes, I just want to provide you with some insights about what is next. So first of all, what I want to show is, like, I mean, what is going to be our next session is going to be about what is Microsoft Azure. Simple as that. We want to highlight that from the business perspective. So we're not going into too many technical details. We're just going to provide you with some business benefits. And we're going to make also a huge emphasis on how to use open source software with Azure, because this is like it's actually becoming one of the mainstream areas of how people use Azure. I mean, mainstream. One of the, let me put it, another very strong legs of how people, of the Azure business development. So like Linux servers on Azure, you know, all these things, you know, there are several partners that we also want to introduce some of those partners during our sessions that are doing a lot of open source projects, you know, with Azure. And of course, we want to kind of provide you with what are the components of Azure. We also want to provide you how and what should be a part of the modern cloud platform. So what Azure delivers, integration. So it's very much about hybrid approach towards cloud. It's about heterogeneity, you know, once again, the OSS, you know, like all this competitive technology or competitive technology from other vendors being fully, merged, you know, into Azure. And of course, also about trustworthy security, all these things, you know, that are important when you're choosing the cloud platform. So that is going to be delivered next time. So just for the end, I want to kind of get your input about how do you rate the content of today's webinar. So that is something that, just to kind of see whether we are speaking about things that make sense for you, that kind of bring some value or add some value to what you already know. So how do you rate it? Are you very satisfied or at the end, you know, completely dissatisfied? So that's the first question. So I'm just going to wait for a few seconds. In the meanwhile, I'm going to check the question board. So there are several questions about the presentations. There are several questions about the recording. So basically, yes, recording is going to be available to you in a few hours after the session. So when you go to the registration link for this session, after when the session finishes, you're going to be able, I mean, you'll be able to access the recording. The PDF copy of the deck, we're going to share that with the event organizers, and they will gladly share this with you. So that's about the content. There were also some people said, I have one question, but there was no question then. If there are any other questions, feel free to post that on the messages board. There are several comments about the sound, and people are also saying that then the sound was, I mean, that they kind of they could hear me again. Okay, so if there are any other questions, or if your question, because there are several questions here, if your question was not answered, feel free to, and I'm going to switch the my poll question to the next one. So how do you rate the webinar? You're either very satisfied, you're just satisfied, you're kind of neutral, or very dissatisfied. I would say the options are just first two. But also please provide us, so how do you rate the speaker, whether you like the style, the tone, the speed, you know, of how am I delivering those webinars is also very important for us. And in the meanwhile, just coming back to what I was saying before, if you cannot, I mean, if your question was not answered, please just answer it once again, and I'm going to respond to that. Other than that, if you add anything else pops up later, I'm going to share my full contact. So I'm David Balazic, the guy on the left. It's also my email contact, my phone number contact, Skype contact. Feel free to reach out, and I can then answer the question or clarify anything that needs a clarification later. With that said, thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure to deliver this webinar today, and I'm looking forward to either meet you today in the afternoon when we have the first option for the next session, or on Monday morning where we have the second, I would say the repeat of the next session, so about the story of Azure. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll be in touch soon. Goodbye.